You are listening to the Point Harbor Church Podcast. Experience a place where you can grow in your faith, connect with others, and discover the story God has for your life. For more resources, visit us online at pointharbor.com.
If you don't have a handout, hold your hand up, because you're going to want, especially note takers, you're going to want a handout. Keep your hand up until they get to you. The rest of you, turn in your Bibles, well, all of you, to Luke chapter 12. Okay, Luke chapter 12 is where we're going to spend probably a major portion of the time today. How y'all doing? You feel good?
Yeah.
All right, how many feel really, really crappy? Anybody? We'll bring you forward, lay hands on you. All right. I thought I would start out with the e-baby there, a touch of humor before we get really serious, because we're talking about stewardship. We're in this stewardship series. And it's a scary subject to a lot of you. It really is, if you understand kind of what stewardship's about. And that's because, honestly, if I can just get in your face, all right, some of you aren't very good stewards of the treasure and the time and the talents that God has entrusted you with, that you're a steward of. And Jesus speaks a lot about this thing of stewardship. In 1 Corinthians 4, and verse 1, he says, this is how one should regard us as servants. So we're what? We're servants, and also as stewards of the mysteries of God. And moreover, it's required, all right? It is required. There's going to be a reckoning of stewards, that they be found what? Faithful. Say it louder. Faithful. All right, faithful. And in the paraphrase of this, the Living Bible, same verses, but it kind of lays it out. I want to bring it to your attention. So we should be looked upon as Christ's servants. Now, the most important thing about servants is that he does just what his master tells him to. What does he do? He does what his master tells him to do. And then it says, what about me? Have I been a good servant or a good steward? Now, church, as your pastor, all right, I am called to several things. I am called to encourage you, and some of you are going to be encouraged this morning. Say hallelujah.
Hallelujah.
All right, and teach you, all right? Hopefully you want to be taught. Anybody want to be taught?
Yeah.
All right. Correct you, and to warn you. Now, somebody says, you can't tell me what to do. You can't tell me what to do. I hate to tell you that. It's my job description to tell you what to do. You're like, wait a second, what? And see, American Christians, we're kind of screwed up. And I'm going to show you in a second, all right? If you don't want to come and find out, now this is what God wants you to do, but I'm God's messenger. If you don't want to know what to do, then you should have slept in, all right? Because Sunday morning's pillow is always amazing, amen? Oh, it's the most comfortable. The bed says, stay here for a while. So, it's my job. Well, and I'll show you. Some of you have never heard this because, well, I ain't going to say what I was going to say. I'm going to be good. I charge you. So, Paul is talking to Timothy, all right? Timothy's a young pastor. And he says, I charge you, Pastor Timothy, and all pastors, in the presence of God in Christ Jesus, preach the word. That's the main thing. Preach the word, all right? So I'm supposed to do what?
Preach
the word. Now, a lot of people say, well, I preach the word, but they don't. They preach the New York Times, or they preach, you know, what's the latest popular fad. I know of a church out in the West Coast, large church, and they're doing a whole series on how the Bible applies to movies. All right, so they kind of got it backwards, I think. But I'm called to preach the word. And in doing that, I need to be ready in season and out of season. That means when you want to hear it and when you don't. When I want to preach it and when I don't. Okay? It's all the time. All the time I'm ready. You ought to be ready to preach the word. And then he says, reprove. All right? So while I'm preaching, I'm supposed to reprove some of you. That means expose what areas in your life are sin or out of sync with God's will. Rebuke. That means get in your face and warn you. And exhort. That means encourage those of you that have come in and you feel all beat up and you're like, oh, man. And so I ought to be doing all of these. Some of you need to be reproved this morning. Some of you need to be rebuked this morning. And some of you need to be encouraged with complete patience and teaching. So today is going to be an encouragement to many of you because you're already doing this stuff. You're doing what I'm going to be talking about. And I want to say props to you. Props to you. Awesome. You believe this stuff. You have got this. You are doing this. You could come up here and preach this. You could. But my stewardship, we're talking about stewardship, is a measure of my spiritual growth. It is. And by the way, let me say this. Compared to the average, because we track things, you know, we track different things. We track serving. We track folks who are connected in point groups because it's a measure of spirituality. We track giving. It's a measure of spirituality. It is in your spirituality. So we kind of track that. And then Pastor Dan, he kind of compares it to, you know, other churches, nation averages. He's a techie. He likes spreadsheets. He's weird. But he checks these and then he gives us reports and all. And you folks are head and shoulders above the average church in America. You are. And I'm, give yourself a hand. Yay. Now, some of you clapped that shouldn't have been clapping because you ain't doing squat. But I applaud you folks who get it. You get it. But to those of you who haven't got this yet, today's message is going to be a warning, a correction, a rebuke maybe. And here's why. Here's why. Well, John, oh, you just, you know, like to get in our face. Here's why. For we must all, now this is talking about who? All Christians, all right, stand before the judgment seat of Christ. Now, this judgment seat is for believers, all right? This is a judgment of believers. It's not a judgment of unbelievers. This is not where God's going to say, well, you did believe in me, but now I'm going to send you to hell because of X, Y, and Z. Once you have trusted Christ as your Savior, you are secure, the Bible says. You're secure. You cannot lose your salvation. Some of you act like you've lost it, right? But you have it if you're really genuine. Now, the sad thing is there's a lot of people in maybe this church and a lot of churches who think they're Christians but aren't, who maybe prayed a prayer sometime a long time ago but didn't understand it, and they got a religion but they didn't get a Savior. And so I want to warn you folks. But we must all, real Christians, appear before the judgment seat of Christ. This is called the Bema seat in the Greek. So that each one may receive what's due for what he or she has done in the body, whether good or evil. John, are you saying Christians can do evil? Yeah. Yeah, they can. We all can, right? We can all do evil. We can all do good. This is not to get you to heaven. Good or evil. This is just Christians who are already on their way. Are they living a righteous life or are they screwing up? And I love you. Some of you are screwing up. And I want to help you because one day you are going to appear before the judgment seat of Christ, before Jesus, to answer what kind of a steward you were with the body you had and with the life you had, with the job you had, with the kids and the spouse you had or did not have. Now, here's another one, and rarely are you going to find a preacher that will preach on this because it seems very self-serving, but it's the Word of God. Amen? Is Hebrews in the Bible? Yeah. If you're not sure, check the table of contents. Obey your leaders. So he's talking to church members, to Christians. Obey your leaders. That's a big word, obey. All right? You can't tell me what to do. Obey your leaders. And, in case you didn't get it, submit to them. Whew. Why? Because they're keeping watch over your souls. As to those who will have to give an account. One day I'm going to have to give an account for not only how I pastored, but also you and how, you know, you acted and reacted or didn't in my flock, in this flock called Point Harbor. I'm going to stand before God and be judged. Not for heaven or hell, but for rewards. Basically, these are judgment for rewards or the lack thereof. And he says in another place, you know, some of you are going to get into heaven by the skin of your teeth. You ain't going to have nothing to show for it, but you're going to have heaven, hallelujah. But you're not going to have the rewards that he wants to give you. And then it says this, and this is to you folks. Let them, the pastors, do this with joy and not with groaning, for that would be no advantage to you. I want to, with each one of you, I want to be able to win. God, however he does it at the end, you know, and at the judgment seat, and he's like, all right, here's Joanne Forbes, John. What about Joanne Forbes? And I'll be able to say, man, that lady was awesome. She wasn't perfect, I'm sure. I talked to Laverne, but but I mean, she ministered, she loved you. I mean, you took her husband early. She was faithful. She was faithful, man. I can recommend Joanne with joy. But others of you, shall I point somebody out? God's going to say, how about old, let's make him a name, Fred. As soon as I say that, there's a Fred. We do have a Fred here. Fred, I'm not talking about you. Let's say Ishmael. All right, we don't have any Ishmaels. What about old Ishmael? And I'll be going, Lord, I'm even surprised he's here. Because, man, he gave me headaches and heartaches. And he didn't grow, and he just, oh, God, it's groaning. That would be no advantage to you. Some pastors don't do their jobs very well because they don't do this. They spend their time, the majority of their time, and I know of a pastor, one of the largest churches in America, and he was interviewed by, I think, ABC News, and he said, oh, yeah, I don't preach any of the negative stuff in the Bible. There's too much negativity out there in the world already. I just preach the happy texts. Well, that's only half the Bible. So you just admitted you're only preaching half the Bible. You've never warned anybody. You've never rebuked anybody. You've never done what God calls you to do. So God calls us to sometimes, you know, go to the tough things and tell people what to do. Today, for those of you that are maybe more in the groaning category, I'm going to tell you what to do. All right? Yeah, thank you, five of you. All right? All right? All right. All right. Because these pastors, when they, you know, who don't do their jobs, when they get to heaven, you know, and they're up there in heaven, and they're going to have a bunch of folks demonstrating outside their mansions. Angel riot squad is going to have to be dispatched. Because they're like, pastor lied. Pastor didn't tell me. I could have had rewards. Pastor's a jerk. You think that's going to happen in heaven? It'd be cool, but I don't think so. But this is a heads up message. Jesus gave a lot of heads ups while he was here. And one of his most recurring themes is this thing of stewardship. Now, if you're new here, you're like, what do you mean stewardship? What is stewardship? Stewardship defined, and you can look at the message last week. We laid it all out. Stewardship, though, is that stuff that you have, that stuff that you're in charge of, it's not yours. None of it. You own nothing. You manage everything. You're a steward of it. No matter if it's your finances, no matter if it's the job that God gave you and could take away, your kids, anything. We're all just stewards because the Bible makes it clear who owns everything. God owns everything. And he has not relinquished his ownership. He's just lent things to us at different levels. He gives some, the Bible says, 10 talents, some 5 talents, some 1 talent. And that's up to him. That's up to him. And I'm just the what? I am a steward or a manager. God wants you in that, though, to be, and I want you to get this. This is today's message, a conduit, a channel through whom he can let his blessings flow to other people. We've been in the book of Genesis. We're going to go back there after this miniseries. And there's a dude named Abraham, and he screwed up a lot, but then God used him great. And he's in the hall of fame, faith fame, in the book of Hebrews. And in Genesis, though, God is talking. He says, Abraham will surely be blessed. And by the way, God made this dude very, very rich. Now, this is not a name it, claim it message. God, again, he gives some 10 talents, some 5 talents, some 1 talent. Some of you are, you know, 10 talent people, and you could, but God has some expectations with that. Some of you, probably most of us, are 5 talent people. Talent, by the way, is not skills. Talent is a Bible word for money, and Jesus just used it as an illustration. And some of you are 1. You know, you don't have much. But we're still supposed to be a steward over that. But God made Abraham, he blessed him in tons of different ways, made him rich, and all the nations on earth will be blessed through him. He's a conduit. He's a channel of blessings. And he finally got it. It took him a while to get it. And so look at how this happens in real time. Now we're going to jump. You're like, I thought we were supposed to go to, you know, that text in the Gospels. We'll get there. All right, keep your thumb there. 2 Corinthians, here's to set the stage, there's a church. It's the church where? In Corinth. Now, this is funny. I hope I don't hurt any feelings, but every once in a while, and I just drove by one, I forget where it was, there are churches that, you know, they take church names. A lot of times they take them to the Bible, you know, just to be cool, whatever, you know, and there are some churches, a few I've bounced into or driven past, and they call their church like Corinth Baptist Church. Don't do that. The church at Corinth was just messed up, huge. It was a screwed up church. Paul took two letters to try to straighten it out. They had believers in there, but they also had tons of weird stuff, sexual stuff, all this stuff going on. So if you're going to start a church, don't name it Corinth, all right? But 2 Corinthians, Paul says, hey, now we make known to you, brothers and sisters, these are believers, the grace of God given to the churches of Macedonia. All right, so he's talking about these churches in Macedonia, and they were used of God to send a big old offering to the church in Jerusalem. Why'd they do that? Because the church in Jerusalem is where it all started. And then they sent out all these different folks, and these people went all over the known world, and they planted churches. All right, so Paul planted this church in Corinth, and he's talking to the church in Corinth about the churches in Macedonia a ways away, and he's going to be bragging on them how they raised a huge offering to help these folks in Jerusalem, the mother church, who were going through a famine. And you're like, okay, well, that's because, you know, obviously these churches in Macedonia, they got some bank, they got some money, they got some resources. Not so quickly. All right, right here. During the severe ordeal of suffering, all right, these churches that are sending the offering are going through suffering. Their abundant joy, so they got abundant joy, and they also got what? Tell me that word. Poverty. They got poverty. I can't afford to give. I doubt that you're really in real biblical poverty. That overflowed in the wealth of their generosity. They had poverty, but they had joy, which overflowed in a wealth of their generosity. They were a conduit, a pipeline of blessings. For I testify, he says, that they gave according to their means and what? Beyond their means. More than they could really give or be expected to give. They did so voluntarily. They weren't forced. Begging us with great earnestness for the blessings and the fellowship of helping those saints who were going through a famine. Now that's huge. That's huge. Well, you know, these are folks who are really up against the wall. They're going through their own problems. They're in poverty. But yet they hear of this church that without that church in Jerusalem sending people to their area, they wouldn't be going to heaven at all. They'd be on their way still to hell. They understood that. They said, we owe them. They blessed us spiritually. We need to bless them materially. In the message paraphrase, he has it this way. Their giving simply flowed. Their giving flowed like a conduit out of the purposes of God working in their lives. In the book of Romans, in the message again, we see he's talking about the same event, different book. They were happy to do this, but it was also their duty, seeing that they got in on all the spiritual gifts that flowed out of Jerusalem. See, he's a pipeline, a conduit. The Jerusalem community so generously, it's only right that they do what they can to relieve their poverty. So these other folks had more poverty. These folks in poverty are blessing them. I hate a clogged pipe. Don't you, anybody? Yeah, I mean, I despise it. And we especially, we bought a house 21 years ago, right after 9/11. So it was 22 years ago. Out in the country, all right? I used to live here close, but I got tired of whiskey bottles in my backyard and hearing gunshots. So I went out to the country where I can do my own gunshots and throw my own whiskey bottles. So, no. But, so, what was I saying? Oh, yeah, we bought our house. We bought our house. It's at that time, 102-year-old house out in the country, 2 acres. Many of you have been there at the Beast Feast. And so I was, oh, it's so wonderful, you know, home ownership, amen? Until things go wrong, right? And all of a sudden, the toilet went flush. Now, you know, there's a lot of problems you can have, but that's one of the worst. No toilet flushing. Plus, all my kids were living at home, so that's 5 people total. And I'm like, oh, man. But guess what? I just got in this house. I spent every dime I had. I didn't have a spare dime to my name. So I can't call a plumber. Can't afford a plumber. So what do? Get the shovel. And out there, we don't have city plumbing. You city folks, oh, you're so pampered. We have septic tank. But the bad thing is the septic tank is like 100 years old. So it's a lot smaller than what they mandate now. So I did the septic tank, and I'm doing all, I won't gross you out, but I was, you know, I rented this auger thing to auger it, you know, with electric auger, and that wasn't working, so I started digging along the line. I am not lying. I dug at least 50 feet, if not more. down, and it was down. It was way down. So it was like World War I trenches. And it took me, and I, this is after, right after I had back surgery, too. Say, oh, yeah, I know. So I'm digging. And then guess what? This dude rolls up in a brand new SUV. I'm like, who's this? You know, who's this? And he comes out and he shows me his badge. He's from the health department. One of my neighbors has turned me in. That man's got trenches all over his yard. I don't know what he's doing over there, but it can't be illegal. I still don't know who it is. And he said, guess what? You have to have this done professionally. This has to, I'm like, oh man, I don't have any money. Finally found somebody who would take payments and we got it done. I do not like a clogged pipe. I don't. Guess what? Neither does God. Neither does God. And so what do you mean, neither does God? God has given you and blessed you, some of you 10 talent level, some of you 5 talent level, some of you 1 talent level, but he doesn't expect you to clog it up. He doesn't want you to be the clog. He wants to bless you. Abraham was blessed. Abraham had a lot of stuff, but Abraham was also a clean, open conduit pipeline to bless others. Some of you, you've clogged it up. You are the clog. So our first question that we got to ask ourselves for our own good is, am I stopped up in my stuff? Am I stopped up in my stuff? My finances, my coin, my cash. Was I set up by God to bless others, but then somehow got stopped up? Now turn to Luke 12. Luke 12. And I'm gonna have it on the screen. I usually don't. I want you to read it from your Bibles, but I still want you to read it from your Bibles. If you don't have a Bible, there's a blue one in front of you somewhere. Grab that. It's on page 965 in those, and you can take that Bible home. That's our gift to you. All right, but this is a huge, I want you to get this. This is Jesus' words. Whose words? Jesus. This isn't John. You're like, well, you know, you said you could tell us what to do. I can only tell you what to do if Jesus tells you what to do, right? I can't tell you what kind of car to buy. That would be stupid. Now, if you say, John, I'm going to get a Maserati, I could say, I don't think that's wise, based on some principles in Proverbs. I can't tell you who to marry, but I can tell you who not to marry. You have no right. Oh, yeah, I do. The Bible says if you're a Christian, you're not supposed to marry a what? A non-believer. I could tell you, but it's not my word. I'm just communicating the word to you. See how it works? So, we're going to tell you what to do here in your finances, because God tells us, Jesus is talking. And I love this. So he says in Luke 12 in verse 13, jump to verse 13. Track along, because I want you to underline some stuff if you would like to in your Bible. Somebody in the crowd, so Jesus preaching, somebody in the crowd said to him, teacher, tell my brother to divide the inheritance with me, man. But Jesus said to him, man, who made me a judge or arbitrator over you? And then Jesus sees this as a teaching moment. He does this so much. He says, all right, teaching moment. He springboards on a scenario. He said, take care and be on your guard against all covetousness. I underlined that in my Bible. Against all, circle all. Take care and be on your guard against. So that means that covetousness can come. It can tempt us. We have to be alert to it. Yes? For why? Why, Jesus? Because your life does not consist in the abundance of your possessions. Let me speak to some of you talking about cars. Some of you, or even clothes. Clothes makes the man. No, it doesn't. That's stupid. You're getting your identity or a car. Some of you love your car. You massage your car. You wash your car more than you wash your body. And in that car, you feel good about yourself. Oh, man, look at me. I'm successful. Look at this amazing ride. Okay, nothing wrong with having a decent car. But if your car bolsters your identity, you're getting your identity from the wrong place. From the wrong place. That's what Jesus is saying. You ought to feel just as fulfilled in who you are in Christ if you're driving a beater or hitchhiking as if you're driving some $70,000 vehicle. Some of you need to, here's what some of you guys with your new trucks need to do. First thing, you got a new truck? All right, God help you. Hope you can pay for it. But, that's why I don't have a new truck. But, take it out and take a brick and open the back and just throw the brick into the bed. If it doesn't do damage, do it a couple times. That way, you'll be able to park closer in Walmart. Because it's already got some dings in it. Those of you that park way out there in two spaces, you're telling us something that I don't think you want to tell us. I'm getting my identity from my ride. Well, that's pathetic. I love you, but that's pathetic. That's what Jesus is saying. One's life does not consist in the abundance of his possessions. And then he told him a parable. He goes, all right, let me teach you some more. Saying, the land of a rich man. What kind of a man? Rich man. Produced plentifully. Nothing wrong with that. That's the blessings of God. There's some blessings there. Yay. And he thought to himself, what shall I do? For I have nowhere to store my crops. So, man, I got a lot. I got a bumper crop. This is awesome. And he said, I'll do this. I'll tear down my barns, build larger ones. And there I will store all my grains and my good, and I will say to my soul, soul, you have ample goods laid up for many years. So here's what you do. Relax, eat, drink, and be merry. Now, there's nothing wrong with relaxing or eating or drinking or being merry. But there is something about storing up things and trusting in things. And Jesus said, but God said to him, see if we can get it. But God said to him, what's that word? Fool. Say it louder. Fool. God says that to some of you. Some of you are foolish because you are storing up more things than you need that God wants you to use. He's blessed you not just for you. Yes, for you. He wants to bless you. He wants you to eat. He wants you to drink. He wants you to be merry. But he doesn't want it to be all about you. He wants you not to be a clogged conduit, a clogged pipeline. God says to him, fool, this night your soul will be required of you. You die in the night. And the things you have prepared, whose will they be? And then he says this. And in my Bible, I bracketed this because it's always like, okay, this is the application. So is the one who lays up treasure for himself, circle himself, and is not. I circled this whole thing. What's that first word? What is it? How many of you, don't raise your hands, how many of you are rich towards God? This is what Jesus is saying. This isn't John. This is John saying what Jesus is saying. How many of you could actually say, I believe that in my giving, I am rich towards God? Many of you would say, well, I'm okay, you know. And many more of you would say, I, if you had to confront yourself in the mirror, I am cheap towards God. I give God the leftovers if there are any leftovers. And so Jesus is getting your grill and says, hey, I want you to understand, I love you. Right now, you got to get that tattoo. Fool. But I'm having a hard time, John. I'm having a hard time. I'm worried about being able to provide for my family. Jesus heard the same thing. It continues. He said to his disciples, so he's still teaching. Therefore, here's the application. I tell you, don't be anxious about your life. Many of you don't give anything because you're anxious. Oh, what will you eat? What will not for your body? What will you put on? Oh, the economy. Oh, what's going to go? Oh, man, inflation. For life is more than food, and the body is more than clothing. And then he says, here, let me give you an illustration. Consider the ravens. I circled ravens. They neither sow nor reap. They don't have jobs. They don't have storehouse or barn. And yet God does what? Feeds them. God takes care of the ravens. They aren't his children. They're just his animals. Of how much more value are you than birds? And then he says, hey, which of you being anxious, this is many of you, can add a single hour to a span of life? If you aren't able to do as small a thing as that, why are you anxious about the rest? And he says, all right, if that didn't work for you, consider the lilies, how they grow. They neither toil nor spin. They don't have jobs either. Yet I tell you, even Solomon in all his glory was not arrayed like one of these. And then he brings it all home. He's driving the point home. But if God so clothes the grass, which is alive in the field today, and tomorrow's thrown in the fire, how much more will he clothe you, oh, you of little faith? The reason that some of you are having problems in your giving is because of that. Nothing else. Because of that. You don't have the faith. You don't believe that God loves you more than birds. You don't believe he loves you more than some flower that is here in the morning and withers at night. That's the real issue. John, I can't afford to give. No, you don't have the faith to give. You don't realize that you're clogged up with, pick one, worries, ignorance, misplaced priorities, greed, bad stewardship. You're clogged. You're clogged. And maybe a small trickle leaks by, you know, you feel bad, so occasionally you tip God like you would a decent waitress. But you are, for all intents and purposes, clogged, stopped up. Very little kingdom work is being financed by the stuff that God has purposed to send through you. The reason you got that cool raise was not just for you. It was for you, but it was also for the kingdom of God. And you're clogged. You were set up to bless others, but now you're stopped up. And with some of you, he's about to use that word, or maybe he has already. You fool. You fool. Man, I tell you what, I don't want God calling me a fool. But in some of you, I believe, because Jesus did, he is. You're being foolish. You can change it. You thought all of this I was sending your way was for you? For your retirement? For your kids? You fool. Yes, I'm giving you provision for your food and housing, but I never intended for you to live like a king while others around you are starving. I never intended for you to enjoy this house of worship where you come and gorge yourself at the spiritual buffet every Sunday while others around you are spiritually starving. That was not my intention. Don't make me come down there and take care of your kingdom clogged plumbing issue myself. Job said it best. We've looked at this for the last few weeks. The Lord gives and the Lord... Oh, and he can. In other parables, we don't have time to go into them, but Jesus talked about the steward, the unwise steward, and the one who did not use what God had. He gave him just back all, he gave him back was what the master left him, that the master wanted him to invest. He hid it, and then he said, well, here, I got this. He took it away. He said at the end, all right, take it away from him and give it to the one who has 10. Because to whom... they will be given. In other words, if you're faithful, God's going to give you more. But if you're unfaithful, you're going to take away what you have. Unclog yourself. Then he says this, don't seek. Oh, wait a second. Do not seek what you are to eat and what you are to drink, nor be. What's this? Oh. For all the nations of the world seek after these things. He's talking about unsaved pagans. And your father knows that you need them. How many dads are in here? Dads, fathers. Come on. Dads, fathers. Okay. All right. Would you take care of your kids' needs? If you could? Yeah. Yeah. Right? You would. You're a good father. God's a better father than you. He is. But man, should I give if I'm behind in my other bills? Doesn't God expect me to be a good testimony? And then I can give? Don't need to ask the question. Jesus says, instead, seek his kingdom first. Here's what you're supposed to do. Instead of being a clog, instead of building bigger barns, seek his kingdom, God's kingdom first. Make that your number one priority. And then guess what will happen? All these things you need will be added to you. That's called a what? Promise. That's a promise. If God doesn't do that, he's a liar. Fear not, little flock. But it is your Father's good pleasure to give you the kingdom. He is going to meet your need above and beyond all that I ask or think. Here's a question I have for you that you ought to ask yourself. Am I going to fear my God or fear my creditors? Am I going to fear my God more than I fear my creditors, or am I going to fear my creditors more than I fear my God? What's it going to be? Then he says this. It gets really rough. Here's what you do. Sell your possessions. Give to the needy. Provide yourself with money bags that do not grow old. He's talking about an investment here. Where you really store your treasure, with a treasure in the heavens that does not fail, where the thief approaches, no thief approaches and no moth destroys. And then he says this, I love this, for where your treasure is, there will your what? There will your heart in a circle be also. Treasure is connected to my heart. The reason that some of you have such a problem giving is because your heart is not with God. Not my words, his. I don't like that. I take it up with him. I didn't write this. Spiritual success steps. We haven't done this in a long time. But I have this little thing that basically kind of makes the Christian life and our purpose at Point Harbor hopefully simple. It's called love, grow, serve. The first thing I'm to do is what? Love God. This comes, by the way, from the great commandment. Love the Lord your God with all your heart, soul, mind, and strength. And the second is like it, love your neighbor as you love yourself. All three, and I don't have time to break it down, but that this comes from that. So my first priority is to love who? Love God. More than your spouse, yes or no?
Yes.
Some of you are sitting next to your spouse going, yes. Spiritual success steps. Where your treasure is, there will your heart be also. If you love me, Jesus said, keep my commandments. You can talk about how much you love Jesus all day long, but if you aren't blessing him, if you aren't obeying him, if you aren't, you know, if you're a clog instead of a conduit, then you don't love Jesus. I love Jesus, John. I love Jesus. Not if you're ripping him off, you don't. You know what many believers are like? Some of you in here, crack addicts. Spiritual crack addicts. What does a crack addict do? The crack addict says, I love my mama, but then he steals mama's jewelry, take it to a pawn shop so he can have money to get his real love. Back in the day when I was running around stupid, I forged some of my dad's checks because I liked running around late at night. I was in high school, like 16, 17 years old, and I would run around late at night, push the car out of the driveway. We had a long gravel driveway. I'd try to push it on the grass, which is tough, man. It'd give you cardio. And I would then start it up, you know, and my dad slept pretty soundly and take off. But I didn't have any money. I wanted to ride around with my friends and drink PBR all night. And so I had, one day I'm anticipating this. I don't have any money. So I knew where dad kept his checks. Ripped off a few. And I drove through the new, amazing, newfangled thing at the bank called a drive-up window. And I had filled it out. They cashed. It was $40. $40 is a lot in that day. $40. That was cool until the banker, this is how small of an area we lived in, the banker didn't recognize my dad's signature. And he called my dad. And my dad said, come here, boy. What's this? I'm like, what do you mean? That's not my signature. I'm like, crap. Been caught. Was that loving my dad? Huh? Some of you are like, I'm very confused. I don't know. No. Don't do this at home. That was not loving my dad. That's what some of you do every Sunday here. Every Sunday here. You're ripping off. Malachi 3:10, we won't go there today, but you're ripping God off. He says, hey, I expect certain minimums from you in giving. And you ain't doing them. Don't tell me you love me. You don't love me. You're talking it. You're talking it. If I couldn't fool the folks down here on earth, the banker, my dad, why do we think we'll be able to fool God? Think about it. Folks, let me ask you, do you think your God is stupid? Do you think your God is stupid? Some of you do. Some of you do. Because you see, and he's already said what he feels about it. First Chronicles, and you know the God of your father and serve him with your whole heart and with a willing mind. For the Lord searches all the hearts and understands every plan and every thought. If you seek him, he'll be found by you. But if you forsake him, he will cast you off forever. There's some rough stuff in the word of God that some of these sissy preachers won't preach. Action. Unclog your stuff before God has to unclog it. This is a warning to some of you. And to those of you who are unclogged, this is an attaboy. Remember Job, the Lord gives and the Lord takes away. How do I do it, John? Today, start tithing. Start trusting God. Oh, but I'm scared. I know. It takes faith. That's what it's all about, folks. The Bible says, whatsoever is not of faith is sin. Of course it takes faith. It'll stretch you. By the way, we have many folks here who give, not just tip, not give God the leftovers, and they don't even stop at tithing, but they give by grace, which is above the tithe, above the 10%, above the expectation, and sometimes they give sacrificially. You're sitting in seats that some folks gave their Christmas money for. We came to a point where we were building this. We needed in 2 weeks $95,000, and we had like 300 people, if that. We were more of a blue-collar church. And so I said, folks, here's what I'm going to do, and I'm just telling you, the bank needs this by this time, or it's not going to happen. And it was like $95,000, and our folks came forward. It was right before Christmas, and gave Christmas money, little kids involved in it. It was one of the greatest teaching moments in their lives, and it blessed. This is a $2.2 million building, and people, 300 people did it by the glory of God, by faith. Amen. Oh, guess what? Not 300 people did it. Maybe 100 did it. Because 200 didn't do squat. They were just here for the buffet. And when we started this, the campaign to raise the money, we had 50 people hit the doors. Oh, they're going to ask for money. I'm going to go down the street, see what they're doing. And look what God did, huh? But these folks that give sacrificially, whenever I talk about giving, they're not like, oh man, he's talking about giving. Oh man, you know what they are? Preach it, brother, preach it. Woo, we need some help here. They're into it. Here. How to tell me you don't tithe without telling me you don't tithe? When you're upset about me preaching about tithing. Some of you right now, bam! Holy Spirit just said, that's you. Somebody who's a tither, who's a giver, who's faithful, man, they're like, yeah, man, awesome, man. I tell you what, I've seen God do amazing things in my finances. I had to start tithing by faith, and I was like, oh, we're all scared. We prayed. And then God started coming through and answering specific prayers. We came up against the wall, and God came through. We never would have saw that if we hadn't been faithful to God, because God will do more with your 90% and Jesus than your 100% without Jesus. He will. Some of you don't believe that. And cool. All right, if you're brand new, if you're a pagan here, I realize you don't get it. I don't expect you to give, pagan. I mean, I love you. I want you to come to Jesus. We don't care about you giving. Because, I mean, you don't get it. If you're trying to give, you think, I'm helping my way to heaven, and it's actually bad. Right? Unless it's $1 million, then I'll make an exception. All right, okay, John, okay, all right. I'm gonna try to do it by faith. I'm gonna start tithing here at Point Harbor, but man, you don't do any offering plates. Man, I'm so confused. I know. So there's four ways to give. You can do a text, you can do a website, you can do an app, you can do offering box old school in the back, all right? So here's what I want you, some of you, I want you to make a spiritual decision. Holy Spirit's talking to you, quit goofing around. Well, I need to pray about it. No, you don't. No, you don't. You need to pray about things that are not clear in the Word of God. If it's clear in the Word of God, you don't need to pray about it. If he says, don't commit adultery, do you go, well, I need to pray about that. Because she is smoking hot. Do you need to pray about that? You need to pray about don't beat your wife? No, you don't need to pray about that. He's clear in the Word of God, people. You don't need to pray about it. You just need to. Now, you got to pray about if it's above the tithe, like, Lord, how much more should I do, or what should I do for missions? Yes, pray about those things. Tithe, no prayer needed. That was free. Now, what is my action? Action. Here's your action. Hit that QR code in front of you, the QR code. All right, that'll take you to this amazing connection card. And down here, you can't probably see it, but check this little box, all right? Now do be praying, God help me, Lord help me, right? You can pray that. I'm going to start tithing. And then start. Start this week. Start. And by the way, I will put you on my personal prayer list too. If you click that, you fill this out, you know, Bill Schmedley, mobile phone, blah, 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 email, blah, blah, blah. And do this so we can get back in touch with you. Some of you give us bogus emails. Stop that. All right. I'm going to start tithing. I'll send you an email back. We're not going to visit your house with the offering plates. But we do want to bless you. And I want to pray specifically for you because you have just entered into spiritual warfare in a huge way. You've been defeated up till now. Now you're trying to take the victory, and Satan ain't going to. I'm not telling you tomorrow you're going to be rich. You're going to come in here and go, I started tithing, and Lord Jesus, I tell you what, somebody paid my mortgage, just a stranger at Starbucks. Probably ain't going to happen. All right? Possibly you're going to go into spiritual warfare and Satan's going to go, oh man, I'm losing them. I've already lost their souls and now I'm losing them in their finances. I was tearing up their finances so wonderfully. So fill it out. And I promise to pray for you every week. I'm not going to promise to pray for you every day. I'm sorry. I've got a whole bunch of prayer things going on, but I will pray your name every week, at least once a week. Because, you have made a super spiritual, Satan-fighting, self-denying, kingdom-blessing decision. You have. Stewards of our stuff. Next, am I stopped up in my own spirituality? Am I stopped up? It's not just about finances. We're also be stewards of our own spirituality. God says, I want you to grow. I want you to grow in your understanding of me, in your understanding of how I have made you, what I made you for. Look at the next spiritual growth success step. Grow me. What is it? Grow me. The main way we do that is point groups. Point groups. They're starting this week. Point groups. Grow me. Say, grow me. Now, real quickly, let me encourage you or correct you or rebuke you on this thing of growing yourself spiritually. You need to be in a point group. You need to be in a point group. But John, I'm a guy. You know, guys, we're not into that kind of stuff, sharing our feelings and all. This is not, if you don't, you know, you guys like have one feeling anyway. Won't take you long to share that. But we're not even asking for that. We're not asking for that. You don't understand this thing of point groups. Point groups are really all about connecting with God through his word and his people. That's what it is. It's connecting. You will not grow unless you're spiritually connected. Some of you think point groups are some kind of spiritual AA meeting. Like, hi, everybody. I'm Bob. Hi, Bob. I'm also a sinner. Hi, sinner. We've all different kinds of point groups. We have... I'm just going to run through them here. We got young adults, all right, 18 to 35 year old, and then a bunch of adult groups on different nights, different places. We got mom's group. We got senior adults. We have a military group. We have women's groups. We have even an off-the-book cigar Bible study men's group. Some of you are like, you have a cigar Bible study group? Well, we have. It's for the sinners. Trying to meet them where they're at. So it's pretty popular too, by the way. We have a financial peace university group. This, some of you need to get in this group. Financial peace. It's starting, I think, with the point groups or maybe a week or two afterwards. We already have 20 or so folks signed up for that. It's not too late to jump in. And we also are starting a financial peace university group for our Española, our Spanish group. For Spanish speakers too, in a month. So action, unclog your own spirituality before God has to. If you're a believer, he's going to grow you, all right? It's better to cooperate with him in your spiritual growth than fight him. Because I went to the barber, as you notice, yesterday. And I go to the barber out in Franklin. It's a little barber shop, old school barber shop. And this dude comes in, old dude, with these kids. Well, actually, the kids came in first running, hollering. They were running to be the first one to get their hair cut. They like getting haircuts, kind of weird. And like, I was first. And then grandpa comes in. And these kids are just kind of tearing the place up. And I'm sitting over the bar with the lady. And we're just looking at them, and she knows them and all. And she's talking to them, and I'm just thinking, keep those kids away from me. And they're kind of fighting and arguing. So grandpa... he just grabs the one kid by the scruff of the neck. He whoops him over his lap, and he just starts wailing him. I'm like, get him. Yeah. Kid needed that a long time ago. So you don't want God to do that to you. He's not the permissive parent that some of you are. He's a disciplinarian for your own good. So unclog your own spirituality before God has to unclog it for you. What do I do? Sign up for a point group. They're starting this week. Do it today on our website, pointharbor.com. Then go to groups, click that, boom, and you can see all the thing. You can sign up because you're a steward of your own spirituality. Amen? Say amen. All right. Some of you said amen and you're not a point group, so don't be a hypocrite. Sign up. Finally, am I stopped up in my service? Some of us are stopped up in our service. Third spiritual success step in God developing us as believers is ministry team. Serve you. Love God. Grow me. Serve you. That's what we're all about. You need to be in a ministry team. We have over 100 of our folks serve here every week. Over 100 of them. That's a few kids and a few teens. All right, so we're running somewhere around, not including the folks online, 600-ish in our two services, all right? Of those, 400 are adults, okay? 200 are kids. All right, so out of the 400, 100 are serving. Which leaves how many? Do the math, it's tough. 300. Now, there are some who only serve every so often, so it's a little bit different, but just to help you. Around 300 of you are sitting on your butts. Unclog yourself there. But I'm proud of you folks, you 100-plus who are serving. I don't tell you enough, this is an amazing church, really. I mean, I'm giving this message, I'm in your face, but this is an amazing church. My life was changed because of this church as a young sailor. And you're like, I'm scared to get involved in ministry teams, John. That seems like a big commitment. And it is. I mean, there's some bigger commitments than others. But I get it. I get it. I came here as a young sailor, and the people were nice. And, you know, they didn't have those things they have over in Norfolk. I don't know if you folks remember back in the day. Some of the people had these signs in their yards. Sailors and dogs, keep off the grass. And they would invite, but there were no less folks at this church, and they'd invite us sailors over to their, you know, these single guys over to their house for meals, and they'd set up, you know, occasionally a flag football game for us and activities for us. We went skiing with the singles class. We had potluck dinners where they bring in tons of food that everybody makes, and we all came, and we didn't bring a thing. We just brought an appetite. And so we came, and to that, they gave and gave and gave, and my buddies and me took and took and took. Until God got a hold of my heart and basically whispered to my soul, "You call this your church now?" And I'm like, "Yeah, I trusted you like 3 months ago. I got baptized. This is my church." And then God said, not his exact words, but in the impression, "Get off your butt then and start serving." And I did. First thing I ever did to minister in this church is rake leaves. Wasn't even an official job description. Me and my buddy, he said, "Hey, let's rake those leaves." I'm like, "You think we ought to?" "Yeah." So we did. Then a little bit later, the pastor said, "John, you're bringing all these guys, you know, from the USS San Diego, and you know, I need somebody to teach a young guy, or young, you know, guy and gal singles class. I want you to do it." I'm like, "Me?" So I did it. Horribly. Horribly. But I did it. I started learning. Those of you who've been coming for a while and you call this your church and me your pastor, those of you who aren't serving, like I wasn't serving, just taking, I think you're listening to a whisper. It's just a satanic whisper or a selfish whisper. You certainly aren't listening to the Spirit's whisper, because I know what he's telling you. And here's why you need to, because just for obedience sake, but also eternal impact is typically fun. Typically fun, it's freeing, it's energizing. You've given my life to something greater than myself, investing in eternity, not clogging myself up, my talents, my gifts, utilizing my spiritual gifts. If you've got real, we've had these giftings and these talents that God has wired us with for his church, for the benefit of his church, not to clog up. So if you've got real, let me just get in your face. If you've got real musical giftings, not you think you do, but you've got some real musical giftings and you are using it maybe for secular gigs, but not for Jesus, shame on you. Shame on you. If you have IT skills, mad IT skills, but you sit on your butts on Sunday mornings and don't do anything with those IT skills because we have IT problems this morning. If that's you, shame on you. If you're more outdoorsy and you can park cars, but you love the outdoors, but you ain't parking, you're just driving your car and walking in and not doing a thing, shame on you. If you have a smiley disposition and you brush your teeth regularly, and you could be a friendly greeter at those front doors, but aren't, you just walk past them and take a bulletin from them, shame on you. Start using the gifts and talents God intentionally gave you. Okay, John, all right, okay. What do I do? QR code. Bam, hit it, seat in front of you. I want to serve. Some of you are going to have this and this. Awesome. On your card, your connection card. I'll be praying for you on that. I don't even know where to begin, John, man. I don't even know where to begin. It's so, you know, this is new and it's scary and I come from a small church or whatever. Here's I don't know where I it'd work best for me. We have this thing, it's not ours, but we refer to it, the SHAPE test. SHAPE, you've got that in your bulletin, I think. S-H-A-P-E, spiritual gifts is the first one. It's what makes up you, what makes you you. Spiritual gifts is S-H, heart. My heart, what am I passionate about? There's some things in ministry I'm not passionate about, so probably I shouldn't do them, right? I mean, I ought to do them if nobody else will, but I'm not passionate about it. Abilities, A, abilities. What are your abilities? We've all got, God's wired us with talents and abilities. What are your abilities? Like you musicians, what are your abilities? Personality. Are you a people person or are you more a back behind the scenes, I don't want to talk to anybody person? Personality, and then experiences. Some of you have been through it. We have people who minister and mentor other people who've gone through horrible things in their life and had the victory on the, you know, came through the valley. And now they're using those experiences to the glory of God. S-H-A-P-E. This test, go to freeshapetest.com. This test, it's just, I don't know, how long is it? It's about 15 to 30 minutes, depending on how analytical you are. The one thing, please do for me, don't answer it like you think you should be, because some of you are going to max out everything. I have every gift. No, you don't. You lied. All right? Answer it as you are, because none of us has every spiritual gift. I have two that I can identify, maybe a third, but two that I can identify. So don't try to say you got 19 spiritual gifts, because I ain't going to believe you. All right? And then fill out that form, and they have a place for church leader, because it'll send you back an email with your results. Also, let me ask you to do this. Send it to Johnny, Pastor Johnny, jchouston@pointharbor.com, jchouston@pointharbor.com. If you forget that, you can use info@pointharbor.com, but send it to us, and then he'll say, oh, hey, and he'll get in touch with you and say, here's some opportunities, man. This will fit you perfect. It's your shape. Amen, say amen. We are stewards together. All of us need to be serving. And then we're stewards together. All of us need to be giving. Some of you, again, you're going to give for the first time today. Congratulations. Some of you get back to giving because you've slid back. You backslid, haven't you? And I know that some of you are going through tough times, so this is going to be a faith test. It is. And I want to be praying for you. All right? Unclog yourself. So all of us, we're stewards together. All of us need to be giving. We're stewards together. All of us finally need to be growing. All of you need to sign up for a point group. If, like Tim said, he's our point group pastor. If none of these things on the schedule works for you, get with Tim. All right, ttrinkle@pointharbor.com, and he'll do his best to get you in a group to figure out, maybe even start a new one for you. I can't promise. But all of you need to sign up. We have, I don't know how many adults signed up, a ton of folks. But of that, 96 people are new, brand new to point groups. Say, yay, God. I have a point group on Thursday nights. I'm not advertising it because we're slammed. We were going to meet over here in the kid zone, and we had to move out of that. Because right now, I have 69 signed up. Yeah. We're going to meet in the youth building. We're going to tear that up. 26 of them are brand spanking new. So get involved. I'm not saying don't sign up for mine, but I'm saying choose others first. If mine is the only one to work for you, we'll shoehorn you in, okay? Do it now, today, while you're thinking about it. So we're going to leave here in a second. You're going to go out there. People are going to want to talk to you, fellowship. Just tell them, shut up, leave me alone. I have to sign up for my point group. If you don't know how to do it, see one of our greeters out there, one of our folks at the info kiosk, all right? As we leave here today, here's the invitation. The folks at the door, and I want you to take that. I don't want you to say, oh, I don't want one. Don't be a goober, okay? I have a special gift for you. It's a pipe cleaner. Your own pipe cleaner. Say, thank you, John. Oh, you're welcome. It's a memento of the truth of this message. What am I going to do with a pipe cleaner? Keep it until you fully unclog yourself. Keep it until. I want it to be a reminder. Wrap it around your finger. Hang it from your mirror in your car. Wear it as an earring. put it on the refrigerator handle. Let it be a spiritual reminder of your choice and God's calling. Let it remind you to pray and seek God in this thing. Do not toss it into the trash. I have people out there, we have facial recognition software. Well, John, what if I'm already tithing and serving and in a point group, fully unclogged? Hallelujah. Here's what I want you to do. I want you to take this and put it in the offering box. This is your statement and a commitment of faith. Don't do it if you're not doing all three. But if you're doing all three, I want you to take it from the people, walk right over there, it's like five steps, and drop it in the offering box as your statement, as your, Lord, I'm doing these three. Don't lie to Jesus, he knows. Or if you've made it spiritual, you're not doing it, but you've made a decision today to unclog yourself in all three areas. If you haven't, if you just say, well, I'm gonna unclog myself in one area first, then take this with you. And I want you to be praying about it, all right? Let's unclog ourselves so God won't have to, amen? God, I pray that you would just help us in that. Just work, Lord. You say that you work in us and you are going to be giving us the desire to do your will. So if we're really Christians, we will have the desire to do your will. And I know that you're making some folks uncomfortable. God, I pray that they would not stop and you would not stop making them comfortable until they unclog themselves, because then we'll find out really what you wired them for, to be a conduit, free-flowing conduit, not a clog. Right now, with your heads bowed and your eyes closed, just say, Lord, talk to me. Lord, show me. Give me the boldness. Give me the faith. In Jesus' name, all God's conduit said.